Hi, I'm Mike Sklenz, and this is Nintendo World Report's Connectivity Podcast, episode 106. I killed him. Did I just win? We've got a couple segments on the show this week. First, Neil and Scott do a little bit of This Week in Nintendo. Then Alex tells you a little bit about a non-Tendo game you might be interested in playing. And then the crew breaks down what they've been playing over the past couple weeks. We've also got a Grand Theft Auto 5 bonus segment at the end of the show. So enjoy the episode.
Hey, and welcome to another rousing week of Nintendo downloads and This Week in Nintendo. I'm Neil Ronahan, and with me, getting ready for Pokemon because there's fuck all else to do, Scott Thompson.
Hello, hello!
I'd like to start this off by talking about the one relevant piece of news this week that I think was at least jumped out at me. And that's the fact that Deus Ex Human Revolution Director's Cut is going to be $50 on Wii U.
Yeah.
Which is $20 more than the price of it on every other system.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there are certain companies that are now just trolling Nintendo fans. I understand that maybe the system is not as profitable as everyone hoped, but it's just kind of ridiculous at this point.
Right. I mean, I would be okay with $50 if that's what it was across the board. If that's just the decision they made, then whatever. I mean, that's still kind of high for a 2 or 3 year old game now.
Yeah.
But they did add some neat stuff. I played it at PAX way back when and wrote impressions and stuff. And, you know, I mean, it's not a bad game. It's good. But yeah, I mean, that's unbelievable. I mean, they're telling you that this is a $30 game. It's worth $30, but they're going to charge you more on Wii U. And it probably isn't worth that.
It's just fucking asinine.
Yeah.
Like, it blows my fucking mind. I mean, this is a thing that's happening.
I know there's, like, you know, there's added Wii U stuff, and I don't know how much of that translates to the other versions, you know, like the built-in walkthrough, and then, you know, the Wii U version's got a lot of your important information down on the bottom screen and everything, but still, it's, that doesn't, you can use GameFAQs, that doesn't warrant $20.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely agree.
Yeah.
And then we also found out that Assassin's Creed 4 won't be getting DLC. And also, I mean, even with Injustice is having, like, a Game of the Year. I think it's the Ultimate Edition, not Game of the Year Edition. Because Injustice, sorry, you're not a Game of the Year candidate.
Right.
Most people. But that is coming to, once again, every system, including adding in PS4 and Vita. That's not coming to Wii U. And I think some of the DLC might not have come to Injustice on Wii U. Because it's still weird, because they'd have, like, I mean, there was a whole thing with Injustice where it took them until the summer to even get out DLC on Wii U, which I think was just, I mean, it sucked mainly because Warner Brothers was so kind of cagey onto what exactly was happening.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of understand that, because it is like, you know, that's your first game on that system as opposed to having the infrastructure of 360 and PS3 that you've been working on for several games.
Right.
And Nintendo also, I don't think, did a great job at completely outlining this is how you do DLC on the Wii U.
Sure.
But at this point, it's kind of fucking ridiculous. And because we'd even get press releases after Wii U got DLC for Injustice, we'd get press releases about new characters or whatever, and it wouldn't mention Wii U.
No. So we always had to, like,
which would be weird
to see if it was.
Yeah, and
Wii U
I would always reply, it's a third party PR company that you know does PR for Warner Brothers for Injustice. And every time I would reply, and when I would get a response back, it would usually be like, I don't know, this is what we were given.
Yep.
We don't got anything else, we don't know. And it's just like, it's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it is. It's very unfortunate. Yeah, this was just a bad week in general for sort of news of things not coming to the Wii or not being fully supported.
And even, I think, Assassin's Creed 4 is slightly delayed, too.
Yeah.
Because it's coming out with the next-gen versions, which, I mean, God forbid someone consider Wii U next-gen.
I did read somewhere, though, that I think Ubisoft commented about Watch Dogs on Wii U, and they said it's kind of like, it's not going to be, obviously, as I don't know, high tech as the next gen versions, but it's going to be a step above like what would have been done on 360 or PS3. They said it's like kind of in between.
I'm still not coming in my pants like everyone was for Watch Dogs over the past year and a half.
Yeah.
But out of like those kind of, I guess, like the open world realistic kind of games, I think Watch Dogs is the only one that I'm mildly interested in.
Yeah.
That might be if it reviews well, I might pick it up on a sale shortly after it comes out.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm picking up a PS4, so at this point, it seems like that's the definitive version. So I'd have to really be compelled to get it on Wii U.
If I were you, I would get it on PS4.
And that's what I'll do. Unless
I were me, I'll probably go Wii U.
Yeah, unless there's some feature or something we don't know that really makes it stand out, but I don't see that happening, so.
Yeah. Especially, you might even be able to play Watch Dogs on your Vita via your PS4. I don't know if that would even be worth it.
Yeah, I know. I'm actually really excited about all that stuff. I'm glad I bought a Vita, and yeah, I'm ready to go on all that stuff.
So you got a pre-order for a PS4 at this point?
Yeah, I already have it. I pre-ordered like after E3, so I haven't put any money on it yet. So that that might be an issue. But
a lot of theoretical crap right now.
But yeah, I have it pre-ordered at Amazon, so I've got like until it ships to pay for it. So. Might have to start putting some money down on that now, I guess. It does come out like a week before my birthday, so maybe I can like rope my mom into like, hey, just pay $100 on my PS4. That'll be my birthday present.
Just have like a registry.
Yeah, exactly. It'll just be my...
But back to Nintendo. This week is a really light downloads week, and I think it's... I mean, it's been the past couple weeks have been on the lighter side, but it's also we've been getting more retail games. And we are kind of gearing up for the onslaught that is coming, as much of one as there is, which still isn't that amazing. But it's a steady clip of games that I am interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not be overwhelming, but it's still a steady clip of games. We got Pokemon X and Y are the two big ones this week. They come out on Saturday. I believe they will be available at midnight. So by the time you're listening to this, they're already out. So download the fuck out of those games or buy them in store.
Yeah, hopefully you're playing them right now while you're listening to this.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Froakie. I've made my decision. I even, I think now the third evolutions of the starters have officially been announced. But I did look at some leaks to find out, to pick my starter.
I'm going with Froakie. You wanted to see who looked the most badass in their third form?
Yeah, well, it's also, I don't know how much I want to get into this, but the third forms are like, they're not, it's not like they're just water throughout the entire thing. They're water and something else. And grass and something else. And I wanted to see what those were because that kind of, one of them is like their element in fighting. Like, fuck that.
That's probably the fire one.
Although,
right?
I think it was the grass.
Oh, was it? Okay. I think they've done fire and fighting in the past. So that, I guess that makes sense to.
Yeah. With, Infernape.
Yeah.
Chimchar.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think actually all three of the final evolutions look totally fucking badass.
Yeah.
I
don't even give a fuck. I just want to get in there and get a Charmander and pretty much just stop playing.
No, I'm getting Froakie and Charmander and then I'm going to get that. I'm getting X so that way I can get the freaky looking like dark colored Charizard X.
Yeah.
I'm in. I'm pretty excited for this shit.
Yeah. Yeah, midnight tomorrow is going to be some fun times. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, I will be in New York City.
Are you gonna be? You'll be able to download it though, right? You'll be near.
Yeah,
some
Wi-Fi I'm gonna go to the launch event.
Oh, okay.
At Nintendo World Store. I don't know if I'm gonna stay for the whole thing.
So you're gonna get a real copy.
I there might be some weird missives. Actually, what I want to do if I am there at midnight, I want to download using the Nintendo Zone and download the digital version because I was thinking about it. I'm like, I really don't want a physical version of Pokemon. but I might, at my friend's place who I'm staying at, I might just download that overnight. But anyway, you might be hearing some sort of, drunken missives from the Pokemon launch party tomorrow. Cause my plan for tomorrow is I'm working the day job during the day as one is wont to do. And then as soon as I can get out of there, I'm going to New York City. I might go to New York Comic Con for a little bit before it closes, and then I'm going to go get very, very drunk and go to the Pokemon launch party.
Nice. There's no better way to go.
Yeah. Because there's going to be a DJ, like some dude dressed up in a fucking Pikachu costume. Like, I think there's one way to do this. And if you're hearing this and you saw me there, then you should have bothered me to take out my mini recorder and have us record something. That's pretty much my plan for New York Comic Con. We've got a couple interviews, a few appointments, and I'm just going to fucking talk to people, I hope. If people want to be talked to,
yeah.
Which may or may not be the case.
I think you're
going
just...
around with the court of it. Podcast.
I think you should just try to talk to that Pikachu the whole time.
Yeah. You're like, so, what you wearing under there?
You should actually make a, that'd be a good opportunity to make a funny YouTube video where you're just saying commands from Hey You Pikachu at it, trying to get it to do stuff.
And I guess, speaking of weird mascots and their uniforms and stuff, I had a meeting at work, and as some of you might know who follow me on Twitter, my day job right now is I'm a freelance copywriter at Toys R Us. So I'm doing a lot of stuff with, you know, Toys R Us shit. But I had a meeting the other day that was in a room where there was just a fucking Jeffrey head in the corner. It was a huge long neck giraffe, and there's a fucking like rickety ass fan in there. And I almost put it on, and then I got it like right so it was like just above my head, and I'm like, that just smells like dank sweat, and then I put it down.
Hey, you gotta, those things are hard to clean.
Yeah. Yeah, I can only imagine.
For those who don't know, you might follow me on Twitter. No, you don't, because I don't tweet about it. I work at a dry cleaners. And yeah, those things are very hard to clean. People bring them in, and there's very particular cleaning instructions. A lot of times they don't have cleaning instructions, and they're very delicate, and a lot of times they just fall apart. So a lot of times those don't get cleaned. So I feel bad for anyone who like stands by, you know, like a busy street outside a strip mall and has to wear those to like try to get people to come into some shitty like tax place or restaurant or something. It is not good.
Yeah, I think I wore a chicken suit one time when I was in high school.
Yeah.
It was not a pleasant experience. Anyway, moving on. On the 3DS eShop, that's pretty much where all the action is outside of Pokemon. Well, including Pokemon, actually. We got Aquamoto Racing 3D from Zordix. $5.99. It kind of looks like a wave race game. There's some local multiplayer. No online. You can get different jet skis and stuff. I don't really know if this looks bad or not. If anyone wants to try it, go for it. We may or may not have a review of this up within the next week or so. But if you want to let us know how it is, if you took the dip into this 3DS wave racing-esque game, let us know. Then we got Escape from Zombie City, which is $3.99. And this is a game in which you have a night to get the fuck out of Zombie City before it gets bombed.
One of two zombie games for this week.
Yeah. Ironically, there's also a game called Zombie Blaster. This was a DSiWare-only game.
Ugh.
And it essentially seems like it's the same premise as Escape from Zombie City. Except for this one, you can only get three weapons.
I was going to say, Justin's write-up is pretty funny.
And I think it's... yeah. Yeah, there's three weapons. And that's about it. I think Escape from Zombie City might be the more worthy experience than Zombie Blaster, judging by the descriptions. Also, Zombie City, $1 less.
Cheaper, yep.
How cool is that? And we got Shin Megami Tensei Devil Survivor Overclocked, which is a fucking Shin Megami Tensei game. I think it's more of a tactical RPG. I've never played the game before. I've been curious. I know that, I guess... friend of the show, Nintendojo's Evan Campbell, actually, I think he worked on the localization of this a little bit.
Oh, wow.
That's a fun fact. And if you know that the web that is Nintendo Internet Enthusiast coverage. But Devil Survivor Overclocked. I might actually pick this up, but probably when it's inevitably $10 cheaper.
Yeah.
We have it on the... on the news, on the site right now, which will be changed momentarily. We have it as full price $40. It's actually $29.99 on the eShop.
That's a little better.
Yeah. Which I think if I didn't have anything to play, which will not be the case, be Pokemon.
Yeah.
I might bite at 30, but I think I'll probably end up holding out until Atlas inevitably does a sale for $19.99.
Yeah, what a weird week to throw this up there. I mean, I know it's not like a new release, but still, what a weird week to make it available. Like, why not wait? I don't know. I mean, I know we're hitting the holiday like binge here, but
I think Hometown Story, which is The game coming from the dude who made Harvest Moon, Yasuhiro Wada. We interviewed him in E3. That is the only reason why I remember his name. But that game, I remember originally seeing that it was supposed to come out like the 15th or the 16th. So, you know, a couple days after Pokemon. Now it's coming out October 22nd. I feel like they picked the original day. We're just like, oh, crap. What were we thinking? Just push it back a week. We gotta let it breathe. But yeah. I mean, I've heard good things about Devil Survivor Overclocked. I really do want to check it out. And I know that it is, you know, it's the same shit where it's like you're in Tokyo and there's demons and shit. But it's more of a tactical turn-based RPG.
Yeah.
So think more Fire Emblem, less traditional JRPG.
Yeah. James Jones reviewed it and gave it a 7.
Yeah. And I think that I mean, not that 7's a terrible review. I think that was also partially because the 3DS port is kind of fucking pointless. I think they added in an epilogue and some voice acting, but the use of 3D in it is like, I think there's an intro video.
Yeah.
And other than that, no 3DS.
All right.
So let's finish up the rest of this real quick. We got Super Black Bass 3D, which is a retail game that came out in September, available for $19.95, which is an oddly specific price.
It is.
And then on Wii U Virtual Console, we have Tennis and Golf.
Boo.
The only interesting thing about this is that they're both being sold for $5, which is fucking crazy. No, other than that, that mentioning golf allows us to bring up Captain Rainbow, because the guy from Golf, who he resembles Mario, but you find out in Captain Rainbow that he wasn't actually Mario. It's a guy named Osan or something like that, which I think just means like crotchety old man in Japanese or something like that. And in Captain Rainbow, you need to help him as he lives in his like golf ball house or something, as he needs to learn how to play golf again. Like, you help him find his lucky club, and like he always keeps golf balls in his pants and they itch.
God, so
he's always scratching his balls.
I wish so bad that game would have been localized.
If you still have a Wii, which I'm sure you do if you're listening to this, and you don't really give a fuck about it anymore, which I'm sure you also might do it at this point, then hack the shit out of it and fucking play Captain Rainbow.
You played the whole thing?
Yeah, that is my reasoning for doing that, is I wanted to play Captain Rainbow. Nice. People were like, oh man, Xenoblade! And I'm like, nope, want to play Disaster and Captain Rainbow.
Yeah, but what a joke these games are. I mean, you have a whole catalog of things to be released on the Wii U eShop, and you roll up Tennis and Golf. I mean,
and I feel like you know what else is coming out this week. Like, you sneak out Tennis and Golf in a week where it's like, hey, look, it's Meat Muds 2. Like,
yeah.
When it's this week, like, there's nothing else on Wii U.
Right, so this gets highlighted.
Just Dance came out 2 days ago. That's fucking it.
Yep.
Come on. Get your head out of your hands.
Yeah. You know, I was kind of thinking
fucking
now...
Fucking Link to the Past, man.
I was going
to
ask
when's
you...
It's going to come.
I was going to ask you, now that, just real quick, now that you can play old, like, Wii Virtual Console games on the gamepad, I know you have to use a Wii controller of some type,
yeah,
but you can still play it on the gamepad. Does that dissuade you from, like, paying extra to play it on...
Fuck no.
No, you'll still, like, pay the upgrade price or pay the full price to get something on the Wii U Virtual Console?
It does not dissuade me at all. I was really excited for that whole Wii on the, like, you know, Wii games on the gamepad stuff. And it's not that... It's not the whole act of, like, oh, I wouldn't need to hold a Wii remote if I wanted to play this game, this Virtual Console game, on the gamepad that is only available on Wii. It's not that. It's that I realized how shitty the Wii looks compared to the Wii U. I booted it up, I was playing some WiiWare games, and I'm like, this just looks like shit.
Right, it does.
I think a little bit of it is just like the emulation of how it looks on Wii, on Wii U, and how it's, you know, not really optimized for it, but I'm not that much of a graphics whore, but like, there's a certain baseline quality for visuals, and the whole Wii on Wii U experience, outside of, like, you know, eventually playing The Last Story or maybe playing Skyward Sword again, like, I'm not fucking doing that.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you. Same with me. Like, it's not going to make me, you know, not buy Wii U Virtual Console games if they ever come out.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, so I guess that's pretty much it, right? I mean, Tennis and Golf was it. We talked about Zombie Blaster already, so.
Yep. All right, that's it. Thanks for listening, guys. Talk to you next week with hopefully a more interesting lineup.
Please.
Maybe. I think Mighty Switch Force 2 is coming to Wii U, but still, game came out on 3DS.
Yep.
All right, I'm done.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Here, and you are listening to the second installment in my brand new series here on Connectivity, Games Nintendo Fans Might Like. The name of the game here is that I am going to talk about at least one game that is not presently available on any Nintendo system, but would be interesting to at least specific sections of a Nintendo audience. Today, I'm going to be talking about PlayStation All-Stars Battle Royale, exclusively on PlayStation Vita and PlayStation 3. This game is definitely a lot like Smash Brothers. It is so much like Smash Brothers that I would say that this release from last year owes its entire existence to Smash Brothers. It is a party brawler starring mascots from its franchise. So instead of Mario, Peach, Bowser, Link, Zelda, etc., you got Ratchet and Clank, you got Jack and Daxter, you got Nathan Drake from Uncharted, you got Cole, two versions of him even, from Infamous. And there are some third-party characters on the side as well. The big difference between PlayStation All-Stars and Super Smash Bros. Is definitely in the mechanics. The first way they differ is that in Super Smash Bros., characters are always moving around the screen at all times. Things get really crazy. There's as much aerial combat in that game, I would argue, as there is on the ground. Meanwhile, in PlayStation All-Stars, characters hold to the ground a lot better. They are more precise. They feel slightly more like fighting game characters in the sense that instead of having combos just be part of the gameplay like in Smash, the gameplay in PlayStation All-Stars is very combo-focused. Now, as you carry out combos in PlayStation All-Stars, you build your meter, and as you build the meter, it's kind of like you're building a Smash Ball meter. So instead of collecting a Smash Ball and getting your instant kill attack, you build this meter through doing combos and hitting enemies and stuff. And when you fill it up, you get to pull off one of three of these finishing moves. The finishing moves are interesting because unlike Super Smash Bros., these are the only way that you can take out enemies. So there is no borders on the side of the screen. You can't knock anyone out. You can't knock anyone through the floor and get points that way. What you have to do is you have to build a special meter, and as you build the special meter, you pull off these finishing moves. That is the way you get points. That is the way you KO people. So you can do one of three finishing moves, depending on how far you fill up the bar. On the lowest level, it's a basic attack. Like Nathan Drake might fire a pistol, and it might kill one guy if you're really lucky. On the second level, it is a slightly stronger attack. It might kill two or three guys. The third level, the final level, is a lot more like a Final Smash, where sometimes the game can even change briefly, and you can get multiple kills, probably 3 or 4, or even 5, if you're really lucky. As for content, you're not going to get nearly as much content in PlayStation All-Stars as you're going to get in, say, Super Smash Bros. Brawl. In Brawl, you get the collectibles, you get Break the Targets, you get a heavy story mode, and you even get an online mode and an arcade on top of that. In PlayStation All-Stars, you get a basic arcade mode where you go through maybe a half dozen levels, you beat the final boss, and then each of the 20 or so characters gets their own ending. That's fine. Outside of that, there's a basic training mode, and there is also a basic online mode where you can play versus, which is kind of fun, but not that fun unless you're playing with people you know and you have some way to get excited and talk to them while you're playing, which is exactly the same problem I would say I had with Super Smash Bros. Brawl. What I love about PlayStation All-Stars is that it gives me a little bit more, it gives me a new perspective on the Smash style of gameplay. I feel like Super Smash Bros. Has created its own little subgenre here, and not that many games are actually capitalizing on it. There's Super Smash Bros., there's that Cartoon Network game that came out, there is this, and I don't know what else there is. And I really like the gameplay of these party brawlers. And I like PlayStation All-Stars because it is a new take on this. It is a take that actually gets a little closer to a traditional fighting game. It's a take with characters that I really like, even if I don't like them as much as Super Smash Bros. Now, I am not saying that this is even close to as good a game as Super Smash Bros., but it is a very good game to play if you are a Nintendo fan with a PlayStation Vita or a PlayStation 3, and you are kind of getting the itch for Super Smash Bros. That the eventual Wii U and 3DS game just can't hit right now. PlayStation All-Stars is not a game that you're going to spend 50 hours with by yourself, and then you'll have a great time with getting collectibles, unlocking characters, and so on and so. The value of PlayStation All-Stars is as a game to play offline with your friends, because that is when it gets its most fun. If you're feeling confident, the online mode is also available to you. But I would recommend that if you're going to play it online, you play it on Vita, you get a party chat going, and you play with friends while you're talking to them. Because as a multiplayer game, I don't think it's that fun unless you have some way to communicate with your friends. If the game sounds interesting to you, though, I would say that either version is about just as good. On PlayStation Vita, you are encouraged to use touchscreen controls to some extent, and on PlayStation 3, you don't have that problem. But in addition, because the game has a limited amount of content, and the PlayStation Vita version still controls really well, I would recommend that you get that one. Now, if you get the PlayStation 3 version, you also get a downloadable version of the Vita version. But I think, based on the game you get here, even though it is really well designed and it features a cast of really cool characters, I would say you should try to spend as little as possible to get this experience. Although that might not sound most uplifting, like I said, this is a very good game. It is a well-designed game. It doesn't have a ton of content. The online and the rest of the modes isn't entirely there unless you have someone else to play with, but it is a fun game. It is a well-designed game, and it's an option. It's an option for you if you are a Smash Bros. Fan who wants something new to play. And it is a game that Nintendo fans might like.
to this segment of What We've Been Playing. My name is Scott Thompson. Today I've got three other NWR staff members with me. I've got Neil Ronahan.
Hello, hello.
Almost can't kill
I killed
me.
Him.
Yeah.
I killed him. Did I just win?
I mean, I always kind of expect a voice from you when you're not hosting, but that one was something special. That was kind of new, I think. Zach Miller.
Well, hey!
Also, A for effort, Zach. And JP Corbin.
Hi, everybody.
I know, I should have started with you, JP. I should have known Neil was going to do some sort of voice. It's hard to follow
yeah,
that up.
I know, I'm just kind of like, I'm somewhat normal there, and now I feel like I'm lacking.
Yeah, that's all right.
Well,
it's not you. It's not you
week,
who's lacking.
I'm going to have some games to talk about.
It's Brad Garrett, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, man. So, yeah, kind of a slow Nintendo week as far as news and releases, with the exception of Pokemon. But we talked about Pokemon a lot last week. So,
and we will talk about Pokemon more, I assure you.
Yes, I'm sure next week after all of us get our hands on it. So, decided we'll just talk about games we've been playing, most of which aren't on Nintendo systems, save for what Neil's been playing.
Yeah.
Neil, why don't you kick the show off so you can talk a little bit about Nintendo stuff.
Well, I guess I'll start off with a game that is exclusive to Nintendo platforms. That's Etrian Odyssey Untold, The Millennium Girl. If you played Etrian Odyssey 4 earlier in the year, then you know what this game is. It's pretty much the exact same fucking thing. All right, moving on.
Did you buy this, or did you happen to just get like a copy?
I'm reviewing it for Nintendo Fours.
Okay, because I remember last time we talked about it, you were very much like not going to buy this, so I thought you probably didn't put money on it.
I mean, I'm mainly playing it because I'm reviewing it for Nintendo Fours.
Yeah,
so I don't think I'd be playing it as much. It's also I'm in a lull on 3DS because I'm essentially just in a holding pattern waiting for Pokemon.
Yeah, me too.
So Etrian Odyssey is kind of filling that void, and I still really really enjoy that game and the way it plays, but it's really tough going back to the remake of the original after playing Etrian Odyssey 4, which I think is like just a much better version of the original game. But I'm doing the story mode, which has never been done before in an Etrian Odyssey game. Probably for good reason, because the story is not that interesting. I kind of like the freeform exploration of Etrian Odyssey 4 more, and there is that mode in Etrian Odyssey Untold, but just not as much the forefront, especially because I'm playing the story mode and you can only have one save file. So I'm a couple more hours into the story mode, and I will stay that way. So I don't want to have to replicate doing things.
Yeah. It's a good idea.
But yeah,
is it similar to 4 where you develop your party right in the beginning, or because of the story do you like kind of happen upon characters as you're playing?
Okay, so the way they kind of start the story is that you begin as one character, and that's kind of like your character that you name and everything.
Yeah.
And then you have like kind of like the intro dungeon. You get assigned like two other like helper characters that are only with you for that dungeon. And then after that, there's a little bit more solo exploration, and then you come across the four other people that become your party. And it goes from there. And I mean, it's well balanced because, you know, each of the characters are planned to be there, being of a certain class, and even with the whole Grimoire stones in the game, which are like these stones that then there will be like a random chance where they'll like make a new one. I don't even fully get it. but basically they're these things that kind of like randomly upgrade, and then you can fuse them together to kind of cherry pick the best skills from them. And you can kind of like teach your characters stuff that they wouldn't learn being the class that they are.
Sounds like a certain game that's coming out on Saturday.
Pokemon, yeah. I mean, it's not to that extent, but yeah. I mean, I'm enjoying Etrian Odyssey Untold. It's a very solid game, but I think 4 is way better.
It seems like, I mean, I know that there was a bigger gap in Japan, but they seem pretty close together given how meaty these games are.
I don't even think there was that big of a gap in Japan, because I think 4 was like this time last year, and I think Etrian Odyssey Untold was out in May or June.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That's, I mean, these are...
Yeah, and they're like, on the same engine,
too.
You could
play them for like 100 hours. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
I mean, I really love 4. I never came even close to finishing it.
Yeah,
but
I put like 25, 30 hours into 4.
I keep meaning to go back to that, and you know, I mean, if I were going to play some more Etrian Odyssey, I would go back and play more of 4 before I would go buy a new one.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, like I think the games are really good, but I mean, it's the kind of thing like because of the eShop, you could pretty much, if you have a hankering and you're done with four, just get this later.
Huh.
I mean, it sucks, but it's true.
Yes, great thing with Atlas games now is you don't have to worry so much about getting them immediately.
But the big game that I'm playing is Skylanders Swap Force for the ZWU. And as everyone knows, I think, well, JP, you're the only person that actually owns Skylanders, right?
I do. Yes, I still do. I don't own the Giants or Swap Force, but I have both the 3DS and
Wii versions.
I didn't get Wii. I got it on something else. I don't remember. I got it on 360. I don't remember why, but I did.
But yeah, so Swap Force is really good, just like the rest of the series. The big mechanic is that, the big addition is that you can jump now, which you couldn't do in Spyro's Adventure of Giants, which, I mean, it doesn't really do anything too different other than, like, you know, it's easier to maneuver. It's not like there's many platforming challenges. And all the new characters are really fun, and you can bring in all your old figures, too. And then there's the whole Swap Force guys where they're really neat because, you know, you'll get a figure. There's Washbuckler, who's this pirate squid looking dude, or octopus rather. And then you can break him in half and like take his octopus legs and then put, the magnet dude, Magna Charge, take his top half and then put it on the octopus legs. And then you have Magna Buckler. and then you could take the top half of the octopus and the bottom half the magnet dude, and then have Wash Charge.
Okay, hold on. Can you take the top half of a shark character and put it on the bottom of an octopus character?
Yes.
To make a shark.
I don't think there's a shark. However, they do have, there's a snake guy, Rattleshake, that you can put on a character named Boomjet, and he'll become Rattlejet, which is essentially snakes on a plane.
Excellent.
Beautiful.
But I mean, there's the right now. I think at launch, like, because when you get the starter pack for Swap Force, you get two Swap Force characters. You get Washbuckler and Blast Zone, who's the fire guy. And then I think there's like four or five other ones available at launch. But in total, there's 16 of them.
Oh, geez.
So there are 256 combinations that you can make.
God.
And I mean, it's just fun because it's kind of like, you know, with some of the characters, like I really like some of their abilities, but I don't like all of them. So like I'd like the magnet charge, the magnet guy, he has like a wheel on the bottom, and what he does is, one, he moves a lot faster because he has the wheel, and he also has this ability where I'll like pick up an enemy, like using magnets, I guess, and then like throw them on the ground. So I have that wheel, and then I'll take like the top half of Hootloop, who's the magic owl, and he has, you know, just like a magic spell that he casts that like homes around and hits people. And then I just use that. Or Hootloop also like teleports all over the place. And I have that all super tricked out. And, you know, I could combine that with the top half of the pirate octopus. And then the motherfucker has a sword and he shoots bubbles out of his gun that have piranhas in it.
Wow.
Sounds right.
It's pretty incredible. But I mean, that's a lot of the fun of the game for me, is seeing what the characters can do. The environments are beautiful. The game looks amazing now that it's actually truly developed for an HD system. Because I think that the main, like the primary versions of Spyro's Adventure and Giants, while they did not look bad, the art direction was fine and everything, but they were mainly developed on the Wii. Now this one was actually primarily developed for a souped up PC, and then kind of scaled down for each version.
Huh.
But, I mean, it looks beautiful, and discovering the characters' abilities is a lot of fun. Some other dudes that are there, and they also have 16 new regular Skylanders as well.
Of course they do.
Some favorites there, Roller Brawl, who's an undead roller derby champion, I assume.
Okay.
I mean, she just basically skates around. She shoots out blades. She has a nice charge attack that you can then like kind of combo with the other moves. And then there's Zulu, who's like this weird bear-looking thing who shoots out spirit animals. His projectile attack is he shoots out spirit bats. And then he can also hop on a wild boar and then just kind of like run around and hit people. And then he can also, like, summon spirit animal wolves that then will, you know, kind of operate on their own accord and attack nearby enemies.
I have to ask, apart from like maybe the nostalgia that would come with Disney Infinity, how do you rank these games as far as how they actually play?
Skylanders is actually a video game.
Okay, so it's
like, I mean, that sounds like such a trolly douchebag comment, but it's true. Skylanders is basically like kids Diablo. Yeah. I mean, that's the right. best, or kids Gauntlet. I mean, that's like the good grounds of comparison. Because it's very much, it has that addictive quality of Diablo, as you're kind of almost just clicking to win, and then you upgrade your characters and you level up. And actually, I've been playing through it for review on hard, which you have like an easy, medium, and hard available at the start. There's also like a super hard or whatever. I think it's like insane that unlocks after you beat it. But hard is actually pretty goddamn hard.
Huh.
Not like super, like, you know, pull your teeth out hard, but it's, you know, I lose a Skylander at least once a level.
Wow.
Because like they can faint and then you can't use them for the rest of that level.
Whereas before, were you just sleepwalking?
Yeah. Especially in the original, outside of a few boss fights, like the last boss fight in the original was a motherfucker. but like you'd breeze through it. Like, I think I had a Skylander die because I was just kind of fucking around and was like, oh shit, okay, he's dead. Where, like, I brought in a guy who was a level 1 on one of the last levels, and he just got hit and then died. I do have, depending on when this goes up, I will not say specifics about the review, since I'm not sure exactly when this goes up. The review will be up Sunday morning at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. The game comes out Sunday. And it's very good, but this will probably be the lowest score I will give a Skylanders game. That's the most I'll say about the review. And it's not that it's bad, but, like, I mean, the first one, the concept was fucking amazing. I still think, it's brilliant from a business perspective, and it's also a great game.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. And Giants, like, just did a lot of crazy shit. Like, the whole Giants idea, like, with just bigger characters, like, that wasn't amazing. But they did a lot of like kind of like weird things with the levels. Like, there's one level where you're controlling a giant mech that is also voiced by George Takei, but that's slightly irrelevant. And like that was a lot of fun. And then there's also another level that I know in my review I compared to the stones in Skyward Sword. I forget the name of them, the time shift stones, because it is stuff where it's like this like town that's like dead, and then you hit a button and it becomes alive, and you have to kind of go between that to solve puzzles throughout the level. And they did a lot of cool stuff like that. And Swap Force, like the levels, I feel like I could be sleepwalking through them. And it's not like it's not enjoyable, but it's just like, it's all very, it feels like I'm just going through a routine. And I'm still having a great time with it. I still played a shit ton of that game in a small amount of time, a little bit because of the review, and also because I'm having fun. But it's not as fresh. I don't think they did as good of a job as making it, you know, this boundlessly creative thing that I think it has the potential to be. They do that a little bit. There's a bunch of bonus missions that you can unlock where those seem to have that creative spark in it. Like, there's one that I saw at a demo a couple weeks ago, and I wrote impressions for it, so you can read that now if this is before the review goes up. But it's called Master Chef. And you have to, like, I think they're trying to, like, cook the elder fish or something. I don't know. There's lots of random mythology in this game. And then you go through the level and you're fighting all these characters that, like, have, like, forks and knives and chef hats. And, like, every now and then it'll be like, it's pumpkin time. And just fucking pumpkins will fall down and you need to dodge them. And it's just really crazy and fun. And I wish, like, that carried throughout the entire game. But it doesn't. But it's still really fun. It just, like I said, it's more of the same as opposed to like something amazing.
Huh.
Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Patrick Barnett is reviewing the 3DS version, which from the when I played a demo of it a couple weeks ago, it seemed like it was an improvement over last year's, which was a pretty big disappointment for me.
Yeah, I really liked the 3DS version of the original. I was a big fan of that. I never played Giants that way, but from everything I've heard, it was a step back.
Yeah, I was encouraged by what I played, because it seemed like they kind of realized what they fucked up on and are trying to solve it. But yeah, I think that's it for me regarding Skylanders.
Cool. I don't think I'll ever play any of those games.
Nope.
Just wait until your kid gets older.
The concept sounds fine, but I'm not going to buy a bunch of toys.
Yeah.
At least not till, well, maybe in a few years when my daughter's older, if there's something similar to that around.
Yeah.
She'd probably get sucked into it. I probably would have loved that shit as a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, even new ones you're talking about, how you, like, combine them. I mean, it just reminds you of, like, Transformers
or something. Dude, it's so fucking cool.
But let's move on. I don't know. Zach, why don't you go ahead and go?
Okay. So I bought the Muramasa Rebirth on Vita when it came out.
Remember when you called it Maramusa?
What?
You used to call it Maramusa before it came out.
No.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, it's yeah. Well, Maramusa Rebirth on the Vita. And I didn't really get around to playing it. I just really wanted to have it on a portable system. And it had a new translation. Supposedly it's going to have DLC, but it hasn't come out yet. I don't think it ever will. And I just recently went to Vegas for a little mini vacation. So I spent a day on the plane going there and a day on the plane going back. And I played through both campaigns in Muramasa and, really, really like it. But now that I've played through both campaigns and I'm grinding to get swords, I'm finding it very annoying. Because the gameplay never changes, ever. And of course, you know, there aren't really any warp points. So you're running through empty environments, sometimes fighting bad guys, sometimes not. And that gets old. So, yeah.
Now, this is a re-release of the Wii game, right? There's with probably some added in kind of stuff.
I can't tell if there's anything added.
Fair enough.
Although I never played the Kasuke, whatever his name is. I never played his campaign on Wii. I always meant to, but I never got around to it. His campaign, he plays differently a little bit. Well, actually, that's not true at all. He plays differently in that he goes to different dungeons than Momohime. But otherwise, the gameplay is exactly the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it looks great on Vita. I mean, it looked great on Wii, but it looks phenomenal on the Vita. And the music's really good, and I really like the game. It just really starts to get old.
Yeah.
Fairly quickly. But, you know, I like VanillaWare games. I like their art direction. I actually have two VanillaWare games on Vita, now that I think about it. I have that and Dragon's Crown.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, so, yeah, Dragon's Crown, not really a successor to this or anything, but
no.
I would imagine you would give the nod more to Dragon's Crown as the better game.
You know, it's a better game if you're playing it with other people.
Okay.
But if it's just you and the AI filling in the empty slots, it's not... not that engaging, because the AI is not as good as a human player. But it's a better looking game. I think it's a more fully realized game.
Yeah, a little more varied, not as much of the same.
Yeah, but more varied environments. Everything about it's more varied. But if you get online and you got three people with you, it's really can't be beat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard a lot of people talk very highly of that game, say for, you know, some of the art direction stuff and some of the stuff that came about from that, you know, the women characters and whatnot. But the actual gameplay seemed to be received pretty positively.
Yeah, it is good. you know, it's, I won't really talk about the controversy over the art direction, but
yeah, let's not get political.
Okay, I won't, but I do want to say, if you've played any previous VanillaWare games, it's really not out of left field at all.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, I mean, it's that one guy's art direction.
Yeah,
his style.
Exactly. Yeah.
Is like that. I mean, for better or worse.
Yeah, for better or worse. So Muramasa is good up to a point, and then I beat Guacamelee in two players.
Fantastic game. Oh, two players.
Gosh, I love it. Yeah, with two players, I beat it with Marcus. And, man, that's a phenomenal game. Really just,
I'm very close to downloading that.
Like, dude, you should, oh my gosh.
I've had it.
It took me a while. It took me until there was a sale.
Yeah.
But holy crap, I would pay full price for that game now. Now that I know what I know, it's so charming. And it's a Nintendo game. And it's a real shame that it's not on a Nintendo system.
You should, there was a really good post-mortem by one of the developers.
Oh, yeah?
On Gamma Sutra that was really interesting to read. They posted it a couple weeks ago.
Oh, cool. Did they say we wanted to put this on a Nintendo system?
Well, I think that it's called Pub Fund. That's what helped them out. It was a Sony indie pub fund.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that. So, okay.
So it's not going anywhere.
No. Yeah. Well, I think that because it's on PC, maybe. It might be coming to PC. It might be one of those things where it's exclusivity.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how the indie pub fund works with Sony.
Yeah. I have it on, and it's cross-play or cross-buy.
Yep.
So beat it. I just bought it on PS3, and I got it on Vita, too. And you can transfer your save.
That's always nice. So, I wish more games would do that. I think that's a great feature.
Yeah, I do too. Actually, now that you mention it, Dragon's Crown is getting crossplay patched in next week, maybe?
It's not cross-buying.
That's true. That's true. And I already, for some reason, had it. But whatever. Great game. Guacamelee is just phenomenal. And I love it. Love it to death. And when you beat the game, the bad guy in the game is called Carlos Calaca.
Yep.
And when you beat the game, you get a trophy that says,
boom
shakalaka.
No, it's boom shaka kalaka.
Shaka kalaka. That made me laugh out loud.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. So there you go. Playing a lot of Vita games.
Well, I'll go next because I'm in a similar boat. I just got back from California.
Yeah.
So on the plane ride to and back from L.A., I played a lot of my Vita and played specifically a lot of the Walking Dead game, which I'm finally getting through. I had it on PC. I got it on like some crazy Steam sale for like the whole thing for like $5 at some point.
Oh my gosh!
I know, it was a really good deal. and played the first two chapters, but I don't know. It just wasn't the kind of game I really enjoyed playing at my computer. I like shooters and stuff on PC, but this was a game that seemed very much suited for just kind of kicking back on the couch. And so when the Vita price drop happened, 2 months ago or so, sometime in August, I went ahead and bought the Walking Dead, like, collector's edition of the Vita, which really isn't anything. I mean, there's no, it's like a fancy skin on the Vita. It's the same normal Vita with just a download code for the Walking Dead. Mm. So it's not really much of a collector's edition, but either way, I decided to go ahead and do that and figured this would be the perfect opportunity to finally get through it. And so on the way home, I'm at the very end of the fourth chapter. So I've got one more chapter to go. And I really enjoy that game. I think it's really well done. I mean, it's basically an adventure game, like all of their, all of Telltale's games have been in the past however many years. But it's easily the most like well executed. I'm trying to think, Telltale did the Strong Bad game, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And what other? Why am I blanking on
Jurassic
that?
Park? Future. Back to the Future.
Back to the Future.
The Jurassic Park game is
awful. It is. Didn't the try. Sam and Max. The Sam and Max games.
Yep.
And those were all. I mean, well, they're not all good, I should say, but you know, they're varying qualities with those. But there's just something about the setting in the world for The Walking Dead and the weight that comes with decisions that you make that just really, I don't know, really like nails this game and makes it so much more fun to play than those others. You know, their other games are usually kind of silly and fun and lighthearted, and that's fine. But I'm not like a huge adventure game fan necessarily. No. I'm not like, I don't die, you know, like in excitement over like solving puzzles in a game, really. So having this sort of, I don't know, this kind of survival instinct and this like worry over who's going to survive and who's going to die and like what you can do to impact that, I think really adds an element to the Walking Dead game that just doesn't exist in the rest of their games. And it's so much better for it. And then actually, you know, it helps to be a fan of the TV show or the comics, and you know, recognize locations and characters, you know, a few characters from the main canon pop up here and there and stuff. And I'm really, really enjoying it. I know, like, the fifth chapter's got to end in some kind of heartbreak or something.
And doesn't the Vita version come with the gap between seasons 1 and 2?
Yeah, the 500 days, I think it's called. Yeah. Which I obviously haven't checked out that yet either.
Neil, I think it's 500 days over 2.
500 days of summer, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I am very excited for Telltale's next game, which actually launches on, it will be out by the time you hear this, the Fables one, The Wolf Among Us.
The Wolf Among Us, yeah. Reviews for the first chapter just started popping up today.
Yeah, I've not read Fables in maybe a decade, I don't know. But I really liked that comic when I did read it. I think I read like the first like 40 issues or something like that. It's probably up to some unholy number now.
Yeah.
But I just remember really liking that universe, and that seems to be a game that would be very good to play in the style of The Walking Dead, and more interesting to me because I'm not a big fan of The Walking Dead franchise as much.
Ooh.
Really? Not even the show or anything?
I like the comics, and it's not like I enjoyed what I played of the games, but it's just that, like, I don't know, I'm not... Zombies are definitely something that it seems so trendy to be like, oh, I'm tired of zombies, but I'm kind of tired of zombies.
That's me.
Yeah, that's kind of, there's just so many things.
Yeah, I'm there too.
Although World War Z, not as bad as I thought it would be.
Yeah, like I'll probably see World War Z at some point, but there's a reason why I didn't see it in theaters.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, I can see that. If this was just a brand new like zombie franchise, I would be less interested. Yeah, but the fact that it's tied to something I like and enjoy that's been around for a while, gets me excited.
I think the zombification of media kind of reached its pinnacle with Warm Bodies. It was at that point that I thought, okay, we've had enough now.
We've gone too
far. Nowhere else to go but down.
I still kind of want to see Warm Bodies. I like Nick Holt.
Neil, don't do
it. Like Nick Holt.
He's in other things.
Yeah, like Skins, and he's Beast.
Oh, yeah, he is Beast.
Yeah. Once again, did not see that movie in theaters. Would like to see
it. I didn't either.
But, so that's The Walking Dead. Hopefully I'll finish the game this weekend, and yeah, be ready to go for season 2. I'm excited. So then the only other thing is just something I always kind of come back to. I'm not really going to talk much about it, but StarCraft 2, I'm at that weird point where I've decided I just really love playing competitively online in 1v1 matches. I kind of go through this weird thing where for like 2 or 3 months I won't touch the game, and then I'll come back, and then like hardcore I'm playing it for the next, I don't know, month and a half, and then I just completely fall out of it once like a new game comes out that eats up more of my time, but... I'm at that weird place right now where I'm not really playing anything that's like got me fully dedicated, so I just go back to that.
Have you built additional pylons?
Oh yeah, always. Well, no, not really, because I don't play as Protoss. I play as Zerg.
Oh, okay.
So I destroy additional pylons.
You rush them.
But here's a little known fact about me. While I'm at work, if it's slow or what have you, in the background on YouTube, I will have professional matches of StarCraft 2 playing, and I will watch them.
Wow.
So there you go. I watched recorded live streams of professional StarCraft 2 matches, and people are crazy good.
Does your jaw hit the desk?
Yeah. I mean, they'll show shots of the players and how their fingers moving on the keyboard. I mean, it's like they're playing a piano, like with how fast they're hitting all these keys and how precise it is. It's really bizarre and kind of fun to watch. But yeah. So, yep, there you go. JP, why don't you bring us home?
Well, my gaming time as of late has been pretty much exclusively... I'm still going through Animal Crossing, and I've been playing...
What else could you do in that game? I don't know.
I haven't looked at my activity log lately, but it's probably a lot. I don't, you know, always do that much. You know, a lot of days I'll just go on and water my flowers and check the store, but, you know... I'm still into this game. Like I have played this game every day since it came out, which is almost exactly 4 months now.
I lasted about a month and a half, and then
I get up in the morning, brush your teeth, make some coffee, find some fossils.
Yeah, that's what I did. I would make sure I would carve out at least 15 minutes a day because I'd go in, get the fossils, check the store.
And, what do you know, check the store for? What continues to come to the store?
Well, they have the Nintendo things that like
with the fortune cookies.
I created a second character pretty much entirely to house all my Nintendo stuff from the fortune cookies.
Do you still do the stock market every week?
No, I gave up on that because it's not as profitable.
It's a lot of work too.
It's work, and I kept losing money. I kept like buying them and then not getting good prices.
Yeah.
So after a while, I just stopped that. And I'll go to the island every once in a while when I'm low on money and I need.
Well, JP, the key is to buy high and sell low.
Yeah. that's certainly a way to do it, and that's kind of how I was doing it. So I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna try something else. But yeah, still into that. No end in sight there. Still very much into my flowers. The flowers are where I'm at right now. I get the golden watering can and I'm like doing crazy things, which is, I don't know. I never imagined I would be in this position, but that's where I am. But also
that's what she said.
Yeah. Boom. The sports games. So I get, Madden, NHL, FIFA, they're all really good and I'm playing through the various careers. NHL and FIFA are nice because my Flyers and Sounders aren't doing particularly well right now, so I can kind of live in the fantasy world where they're playing well.
An alternate reality where they're the top teams in the league.
Yeah. They're really good. I mean, I've got them on PS3. I wish I could have them on Wii U because I was a big fan of Madden and especially FIFA on Wii U last year. I thought they made great use of the gamepad, and I miss a lot of that stuff.
It's a crime. It's a crime.
I really miss a lot of that functionality playing these new versions. I wish I just had all the features of the new versions, the updated rosters and whatnot, but let me call plays on the gamepad. Let me make substitutions and stuff with it. But still, it's really good. You know, like people... I'm one of the crazy people who buys these like every year. I buy them for the roster update and the several new features they put in. But I play them a ton. I played FIFA over 100 hours last year. I can easily see myself doing the same thing this year. So, to me, it's a good investment.
I feel sad for thinking about myself in November of last year and how excited I was, like imagining what kind of features would be added to NHL on the Wii U.
It would,
and
be
then
sucks,
that never
man.
Happened. I know. I was so excited.
I don't know. It's like EA's NHL game. I would, almost saying that I would probably say that NHL is the best of EA sports games. I think it's really finely tuned. It's good. FIFA's very good. FIFA's close. But NHL is just great. It has the right mix of simulation. It's got hardcore elements. It's got all the details you would want. But it's pretty easy to pick up and play. It's I think the best adaptation of a sports game to using multiple sticks on a console that I've played. Madden does a few things with it, FIFA does a few things, but NHL is built around the dual sticks, and I think it works really well.
It's perfect. I mean, with the deking and the shooting and everything, I mean, it really works well with that second stick.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I intend to get NHL this year, but I played the demo, which is the first hockey game that I played since I think 1996, outside of like NHL hits, but I was amazed at how well the whole two-stick thing worked. I was looking at the controls, I'm like, this is ridiculous. And then I played it, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah, it doesn't take long to get used to. I mean, I think it's, sports games have a reputation for being very hard to kind of wrap your head around the controls. And I think the NHL games, it may be unconventional, but it's fairly simple. You get your left thumb controls movement, your right thumb controls the stick. you get like pass and whatnot on the shoulder buttons, and that's all you need.
Yep.
Well, that sounds better than, you know, in Madden these days, you have the 10-second loading screen where you have to memorize the layout.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
every button does like five
in
different
all honesty,
things
at
depending
this point,
on what position
you're
playing.
The only reason why I know how to play Madden is because I've been playing it for 15 years.
That's the thing. Yeah. I've been playing Madden for over a decade, so it's like it doesn't change. I mean, like, I don't want to be like, it changes from year to year, but it doesn't change that much from year to year, and the controls generally stay pretty much the same. So,
JP, you have this year's Madden, right?
Yes.
I was playing it recently, and I saw a loading screen that made me think that I was doing sprinting completely wrong, and they changed that underneath me at some point. Because it seemed to imply that you just tap it to get a stamina boost, as opposed to permanently holding it, which is what I've been doing forever.
I've been holding it, so
okay.
Hopefully. Like,
we're both fucked. Cool.
Yeah.
Let's play online now. Because I think it might be, because I have noticed, especially this year, how it's like, man, my guys get slow really quickly. I think it might be that you're meant to just tap it as opposed to hold it down.
And like you're draining it too fast or just not using it.
But that's
right.
Also that is unlearning 15 years of Madden.
Right.
I don't like it. If that's the case.
JP, do you mess around much with the NHL 94 mode?
I haven't played much of it. That was actually the first thing I touched when I got the game, and I played a couple of games that way. It doesn't seem to change things that much. It's more of an aesthetic change than it is really a gameplay change. The controls are very simplified. The graphically, you know, it's got the blue ice, it's got, you know, like organ music at times, but it really doesn't feel that different from the main game.
Yeah. You can play. Can you play online that way?
Yes.
Okay, that's cool.
Are the Anchorage Aces in this game?
What league are they in?
I have no idea.
There are a lot of different leagues in the game, so there's a good chance that they're in there. I just don't know what league that team is in.
Right. There are. Yeah, they have like most of the minor leagues in there. They've got the AHL and the CHL.
And they have the Trenton Titans that don't exist anymore.
That's ECHL. I'm not sure if I think the ECHL, but maybe it's not. I don't know.
It's fucked up that you knew that. Well, I guess they were a Flyers farm team.
No, I just know. I mean, like, that's...
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah, because you have there's the Erie team in the ECHL,
yeah,
right?
No, they're in the CHL. They're in the OHL. It's the Canadian, the junior leagues. ECHL is basically AA hockey. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
You get the AHL is AAA, the ECHL is AA, and so... I'm not sure if that league... I know the AHL's in there. I'm not sure about the AHL.
Does the crowd ring cowbells when you make a goal?
I have not noticed, but I'm not sure I would notice. I mean, it's...
That needs to happen.
Yeah.
They can patch that in.
I'm sure they could.
I have been to many Anchorage Aces games, and there's always cowbells.
You know, for someone who on Twitter talks so much shit about people tweeting about hockey, you seem to be a little bit of a fan yourself.
He cares.
I have to be a fan of the local team.
Yeah.
Yeah. And let it be known, I didn't pay for any of my tickets.
Bastard.
It is on the record.
Yeah.
I forced my friends who wanted me to come along to buy the tickets for me.
Oh, you're a great friend, Zach.
I really am. I really, really am.
Well, does that do it for you, JP?
I think so. You know, sports games, Animal Crossing,
all the essentials.
Really, hey, are you guys downloading Pokemon or buying it retail?
Well, I mean, I was gonna say either way, we're buying it.
Well,
I'm gonna download.
Me too.
I haven't bought a physical game, not counting the Madden that I had to buy for Sunday Ticket. But apart from that, I haven't bought a physical game in probably over a year.
Damn.
Yep. I don't do physical if I can help it. I have, apart from Shin Megami Tensei 4, I haven't bought a physical game in forever. So
yeah, I don't think I've reviewed games that are physical copies.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, I've got a couple of those.
I'm trying to think what the Paper Mario.
Yeah,
the last physical game I bought.
Which, that was a good one to buy physical.
Yeah, because that was a piece of shit. I mean, it was a bad game.
That's right. So, yeah. All right. Well, that will do it. So, everybody,
cool. Thank
you for listening. Tell us in the comments what you're playing or what you think about the games we talked about. are we crazy? I don't know. All right. Thanks, guys, for being here, and we'll talk to you guys later.
Meh.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Don't forget to send your listener mail to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com, and please rate and review the show on iTunes. Now, stay tuned for a bonus segment on Grand Theft Auto V.
Up quick at about noon. Just thought that I had to be in Compton soon. I gotta get drunk before the day begins. Before my mother starts bitching about my friends. About to go and damn near went blind. Young niggas on the path throwing up gang signs. I went in the house to get the clip with my Mac-10 on the side of my head. I bailed outside and I pointed my weapon. Just as I thought the fools kept stepping, I jumped in the flow, hit the juice of my ride. I got front and back, side to side. Then I let the Alpine play. I was pumping new shit, buying WA. It was gangster gangster at the top of the list. Then I played my own shit, it went something like this. Cruising down the street in my 6'4", jocking the bitches, slapping the hoes. I went to the park to get the scoop. Knuckleheads out there, cold shooting some hoop. Car pulls up, who can it be? It's a fresh El Camino rolling Kilo G. He rolls down the window and he starts to say, it's all about making that GTA. Cause the boys in the hood are always hard. Come talking that trash and we'll pull your card. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, boy, I ain't said shit. As hell and I wanna get ill, so I go to a place where my homeboys chill. Fellas out there trying to make that dollar. I pulled up in the 6'4 Impala, greeted with the 40 and I start drinking. And from the 8-ball my breath starts stinking. I gotta get my girl to rock that body. Before I left I hit the Bacardi. Pulled to the house, get her out of the pad. And the bitch said something to make me mad. She said something that I couldn't believe. So I grabbed a stupid bitch by a nappy ass weave. Started talking shit, wouldn't you know. I reached back like a pimp and I slapped the hoe. When her father stood up and he started to shout, so I threw a right cross and knocked his old ass out. Cause the boys in the hood are always hard. Come talking that trash and we'll pull your card. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, boy, I ain't said shit.
Hey everybody, Alex Calafi here, and with me this week to talk about Grand Theft Auto V in this bonus segment is Danny Bivens.
Yeah, hello.
And obviously this is getting pushed to a bonus segment because it is not available on the Wii U, it is available on PlayStation 3, 360, there is a huge PC petition, although it's not available there yet, and a lot of people are guessing that it will be available on PS4 and Xbox One at some point. Danny, do you think it'll end up being on Wii U?
if it had come out on Wii U, I would imagine that it would possibly come out in Japan because nobody gives a shit about the Xbox. But I think if that was going to happen, I think we would have heard something about it already. And the game launches on October 11th here in Japan, and it's... By the time, you know, the listeners out there hear this, it's definitely not going to happen, at least at launch. So, yeah.
So, is there, out of curiosity, is there any hype for
Grand Theft Auto 5 in Japan? I know it's a huge game everywhere, but what about Japan?
I mean, it's not really that big. I mean, I think from what I can tell from talking to kids, because I work with kids, and you know, there are some kids that know about this game, and at least the series. I don't know really if they know about 5, but it's kind of like an underground-y type of thing. So I mean, this isn't going to be selling like millions of units or anything. If it got up to like 100,000, 200,000, something like that, lifetime, maybe that's a possibility. I mean, so many people have PlayStation 3s here, so it can maybe happen. So
yeah, okay. So I think the proper first question to this is to sort of give some perspective on your experience with Grand Theft Auto. So what is your experience with the Grand Theft Auto series, Danny?
Well, I bought Grand Theft Auto 3 back in the day because everyone at my high school at the time when it came out was talking about it, and I really wanted to try it out. And, I never played Grand Theft Auto 2 or the first one or anything like that, so I really haven't. Really no idea or frame of reference with that stuff, but
yeah,
with Grand Theft Auto 3, the first one that I played, I never like beat it, but I always just thought it was fun just to go around and just blow stuff up and run people over with cars and it's kind of stuff like that, just kind of senseless violence. Great job, huh? But and then from that, my little brother had Vice City, and I played a little bit of that. I played Liberty City Stories on PSP, and I played to completion Grand Theft Auto 4 about 5 years ago or so. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it quite a bit, despite, what some people say about, problems they have with the series, I guess you could say.
But yeah, I think there are, there's more than a few GTA fans, types of GTA fans, but it seems that most of them are generally in either the I really love the PlayStation 2 games, and anything outside of that, I don't know if I'm okay with.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are the people who like the HD games and don't quite like the PS2 games. There's plenty of people who fall in the middle, plenty of people who love everything, plenty of people who probably even only like the first two.
Sure.
But there are generally those two camps. And while I think you're one of these people in the middle, I am one of the HD proponents of the Grand Theft Auto series. The first one I played was on my PS3 when it came out in 2008. It was probably the first new game I had purchased on PlayStation 3.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was also my first Grand Theft Auto game that I had experienced, that one's always the magical one, right?
Sure, sure.
That one is the one where you're doing everything for the first time. You're going through the story for the first time. You're experiencing the Grand Theft Auto experience as if it was brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, I have hundreds of hours in GTA 4.
Wow.
Between the I've played the story roughly 5 times. I love the DLC for it.
Mm-hmm.
I even, until GTA 5 came out, I was still having sessions of an hour where I would go on, turn on the cell phone cheats, and then just go nuts for an hour and a half. And it was just an amazing game. It's still one of my favorite stories in a game of all time, even though that's one of the main complaints people have about the game.
Mm-hmm.
And even though people, will shit on the driving, will shit on the combat, I think it's a huge step up over San Andreas when I played that just in the last year. I really wanted to play San Andreas, and I had no bad expectations. I just wanted to play it as, hey, here's a new great Grand Theft Auto game I could play.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard to go back to those shooting mechanics because they weren't quite standardized to the triggers as they are today.
Right.
The movement didn't work so well, and the story seemed like it was pushed further in the background than I would like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can get where I'm coming from, just from my limited perspective. I mean, the reason why Grand Theft Auto 4 was my first game is because I was too young to play the PS2 one.
Sure. Yeah, and I totally get it. And, honestly, the story in the older ones, 3, never really grabbed me. I mean, I just kind of just farted around with the game, really. And with Liberty City Stories, I was actually playing through the missions and stuff like that and having a good time. But, man, playing on the PSP is kind of like a pain. I mean, it's just not, I'm not a big fan of, the thumb nub or whatever you want to call it. And I don't know, as cool as it was to have that experience, you know, that I could, at the time I was here in Japan, I could take it around and, you know, play on the train and whatnot. But I don't know. It's just, for me, I'd rather just play it on, you know, the big TV. And, you know, with some of the refinements and stuff like that they made with Grand Theft Auto 4 and then, you know, kind of carried into other games like Red Dead Redemption and stuff like that, I really, really enjoyed that stuff. I really enjoyed the kind of the evolution of the series from, you know, the PlayStation 2 up until, you know, this current generation of consoles.
And it is a weird evolution to make because, you know, it started at the goofy, you know, there's some elements grounded in realism in the PS2 games, but it's mostly, we just want to give you a sandbox to have fun with. Being realistic is secondary, which mm-hmm. is something admirable if you're into that. And then Grand Theft Auto 4 changed everything where it wanted to get as realistic as it could be. Mm-hmm. Now, how realistic it is in the grand scheme of things, that's up to question. Mm-hmm. But we are getting into Grand Theft Auto 5 now, and we've had the really goofy GTA. We've had the super serious GTA. And when I got this game, and it is probably my most anticipated game of all time, I got to the point where before it came out, I started having dreams about it. It was one of those kinds of games.
Oh, sure, yeah, I get you.
My first impression was that this is the fusion of those two ideas. Mm-hmm. It is trying to take the things people loved about GTA 4, the refinements made there, the fun and lighthearted nature. Well, I guess lighthearted is up for question when we talk about the story.
Yeah.
And then the advancements made in Red Dead Redemption and Max Payne, and it seems like they mushed those all into one game. What did you think of this game when you just started playing it?
Well, even before I started playing it, I was a little bit skeptical, to be honest. I was thinking, you know, even like reading reviews and stuff, people were like, this is like the best game I've ever played, and, you know, 10 out of 10, and, you know, this is so realistic and stuff like that. So, I don't know, I'm a bit of a skeptic.
It's GTA reviews, you shouldn't take those seriously.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know, and then, you know, when I actually played it for myself, I thought, man, this, you know, this does look really good, and this is really fun, and they definitely, you know, have some improvements over, you know, Grand Theft Auto 4, and, you know, like I said before, I think, you know, kind of implementing some things even from Red Dead, like, you know, just simple things like regenerating health, crap like that. I mean, it's just, you know, just like simple things that should be there, should have been there, in my opinion, are there now, and I think it's great, so,
yeah. What were your first impressions of the world of Los Santos when you entered it? Because I know you have that tutorial mission, but then after that, after right. you're introduced to the mechanics, which we'll talk about in a while, mm-hmm. what was it like being thrown into that world? What were your impressions of that?
I was just, one thing that I kind of noticed is like how, and it's kind of just stupid, I guess, but I was like, Jesus, I mean, these streets look like ridiculously realistic. I mean, like with the simple things of, when you're driving around, even like just different types of pavement and crap like that, just like so much detail has went into everything, and everything looks like really, really good. I mean, you know, sometimes if you get up really, really close to something, then maybe you can see that it's not as good or something, but you know, come on, that's, I don't know. I do that stuff because I'm a fucking weirdo, but I don't think
I do it too.
Okay, we're both weirdos, but you know, I don't think that the majority of people really care about that type of stuff, so, but I don't know.
Were you a parent, like, were you initially aware of how big the game was?
No, I wasn't, and you know, because I never played San Andreas. And, you know, after playing 4, I remember around the time people were kept saying, like, man, San Andreas is, like, so much bigger. You can do, like, more stuff and all that type of crap. So I was imagining, like, you know, Grand Theft Auto 5 taking place in essentially, like, the same place. And I was thinking, man, well, this is going to be kind of like Grand Theft Auto 4, but bigger. And
yeah,
just kind of, yeah, just grander in scope. So I was kind of really looking forward to, you know, getting to see that.
I think Grand Theft Auto V, for me personally, was a game that I was not sold on visually at first, mm-hmm. but I became sold on as I played it. Mm-hmm. When I started playing it, I had come from the marketing that had promised me that there was not going to be very much draw distance, that it was going to be this insanely beautiful game, and just so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And when I came in with these expectations. What I came into was the unrealistic expectation that there would be no poppin' in this game, mm-hmm. which is just not the case. It's a Grand Theft Auto game. It is made by Rockstar. It is an open world game made in this generation, regardless of what engine they had, mm-hmm. regardless of how they pushed this engine to the limit. I should have expected the fact that there would be cars popping in into the late distance, people popping into the late distance, mm-hmm. and then on Mount Chiliad, mm-hmm. bushes would come into view, and textures would have to load as you got closer, which sure. was one of the things that bummed me out initially.
Mm-hmm.
And this was coupled with the fact that I was playing it on a good TV,
mm-hmm.
and I still noticed some aliasing issues on like some lampposts and occasionally on the grass and on some cars.
Sure.
And that really bummed me out too. So that was what was in my mind as I was playing the story for the first chunk of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then as I got deeper, one of the things I really appreciated was how you can see the mountains to some extent in the back, and how GTA 5 isn't necessarily the most beautiful game when you look at it all at once,
mm-hmm.
but when you look at each part really close, it is an insanely beautiful game.
Oh, yeah, like,
definitely. Let's say Michael's by the pool, he has his shirt off.
Mm-hmm.
His skin looks like skin that I might expect out of a next-generation game.
Yeah.
And the roads, they have that sheen to them, but still that rugged sheen that I would expect from a real road. And if you move the camera to the right place, you can even see that like little rainbow like glare effect from the sun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's just a really beautiful game to me from that perspective. I don't know if you had any of the same experience.
No, definitely, because, you know, like I just mentioned, I like kind of paying attention to, like, these little technical details and stuff. And
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus, you get really close to, like, the characters' faces, like Michael, for instance, like, you could see, I guess, kind of what pores on his face or, you know, the little individual stubble things, basically.
Yeah.
It's pretty incredible, I mean, for, you know, kind of how much power they're getting out of this generation's, you know, system. I mean, you know, this late in the game, I could totally get it, but it's still, like, really impressive.
Were you bothered by the poppin' and aliasing at first?
I was disappointed. Maybe,
oh, so you noticed it.
Yeah. Maybe even still a little bit to some point, but it doesn't, you know, take away from the gameplay
yeah.
at all.
It's like, it was only something that bothered me at first, and then as I got on, it's not even part of my memory of the GTA experience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then as for the size, I think the interesting thing is when they were promising with underwater plus mm-hmm. interiors, plus the world itself, that this is bigger than GTA 4, San Andreas, and Red Dead Redemption combined. And I think that might be the case if you really do add everything up, but I think a more realistic estimate is most of Grand Theft Auto 4 with most of Red Dead Redemption stacked on top of it.
Okay, because Red Dead Redemption's pretty freaking huge.
Yeah, just like the top part of the map.
Mm-hmm.
And the city part of Los Santos, and I don't mind this, is most the size of Grand Theft Auto 4, but it sure. is a little smaller.
Sure.
I definitely think these people who are saying San Andreas is a bigger map, probably a little crazy.
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know if you got that impression.
Either. Yeah, I don't know, because I never played it, even, you know, after I heard these
oh, wow.
insane people tell me. So, are you talking about San Andreas on PlayStation 2, or do you mean...
Yeah. Are you playing the PlayStation 3 version?
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. What I was talking about right there is the, you know, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas on PlayStation 2. Like,
right.
You know, how everybody, when I was playing number 4, they're like, oh man, San Andreas on PS2 is so much bigger. But I don't know. I don't.
Well, if you want, I assume, well, do you have a, an American account on the PSN?
Yeah.
Okay, well, one thing you could do is, if you really wanted to play San Andreas, they do have the PS2 Classics version for $10.
Oh, wow.
Which, 10 or 15, which is still a pretty good deal if you really want to play that game.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the map itself was huge, especially in comparison to GTA 4. Not San Andreas, we're back to 5.
Okay.
So, like, it's got the city, which I think is smaller than GTA 4,
mm-hmm.
but also much more dense with stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then, on top of that, You have lakes. You have a military base. You have a huge prison. Mm-hmm. You have mountains. You have a desert. You have small towns. You have like even a forest to the side. And I didn't necessarily entirely appreciate it throughout the story because I was playing the story and I was just going where they told me to.
Uh-huh.
But once you're on your own and once you know what it feels like to drive down one of those highways and just listen to like Rebel Radio and doing nothing else,
mm-hmm.
it's a pretty good feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Have you played around with the sandbox stuff at all?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I just, you know, outside of the mission stuff, I just went around kind of doing some of the extra missions or even just like going to certain locations. Stuff like that. Yeah, man, I've been pretty much all over the whole map, almost in its entirety, even like the underwater stuff too, which, you know, I didn't even think about at first, but, you know, I guess I must have read it at some point and just kind of forgot. But yeah, that's incredible. I mean, like this whole underwater world is also out there too, which is, yeah, it was just kind of blew my mind. I was really surprised that that's, you know, that level of detail was even there at that particular point in the game, you know, at that particular spot. It's pretty great.
Have you been under the impression that the exploration, just without any intention of killing necessarily, is actually more fun to do than going on gun-based rampages?
Well, I'll be honest, I really do like, well, particularly gun-based rampage things, but no, it can be a lot of fun because, like I said, there's just a lot of just cool stuff that you don't even know is there. And I know for me, a lot of the ways I found out a lot about this cool stuff is maybe some of the just random encounters that you have with NPCs and stuff. They're like, mm-hmm. hey, take me here, or hey, you know, whatever, stuff like that. And it's just incredible to see all this crazy stuff.
Have you been using the cheats? Because once I beat the game, I was... I've been using the cheats a lot because they got the invincibility one.
Okay.
They got the super speed and super jumping one. They got explosive ammo, which basically makes every bullet like a mini rocket launcher.
Oh, God.
Have you been... I'm guessing you haven't been playing with that stuff a lot?
No, I haven't played with that at all. Okay. Yeah, so...
All right. That is something you should definitely look forward to in the post-game.
Okay.
That's when I saved all my rampages for, because I basically did the story first, and then I did all the crazy side stuff after.
Okay. I've been kind of doing them both in tandem.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, Jesus, like this week I probably played something like somewhere between 20 and 30 hours of the game.
Yep.
Yeah. So I usually don't do that with like any game, which is, it's like once a year I'll do this with like some kind of like a open worldy kind of game. So yeah.
See, the big issue for me was I got this a week and a half before I got Pokemon X. So within the span of about 2 weeks, I ended up playing about 80 hours of video games. And then, well, no, that's part of the Grand Theft Auto V experience. It's one of the only games that I can get 50 hours in under a month mm-hmm. and not even think that much of it.
Sure.
So moving on, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but the shooting, the combat, and the driving, like the mechanics in this game, how did you feel about them in relation to GTA 4?
It's a complete step up. I mean, cover and stuff like that, it's could you even do that really in GTA 4?
Or if it was their loose interpretation of the idea of cover.
I just remember being awful and just getting frustrated with that stuff a lot in GTA 4. But, yeah, number five, I never really had any problems. I mean, the only time that, if I was in cover and I would get, like, just blasted as if maybe some guy just snuck up on me or something, got behind where I'm covering. I mean, that's just kind of my own fault or something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, no, man, I thought it was just amazing. It was really good. Didn't have any problems with it at all.
And what of the driving?
You know, people complained about driving in Grand Theft Auto 4, which I thought was fine, and it almost seems like too easy in Grand Theft Auto 5. Like, I'm even with some of the characters that aren't necessarily good at driving starting out, I'm still like weaving in and out of traffic and only murdering people every once in a while, as opposed to like every turn or something. But
especially with Franklin's ability, when you can slow stuff down, and you can just swerve in between cars like nothing.
Oh yeah, it's incredible.
I agree that everything is probably a huge step up. The shooting, I think, controls like a proper third-person shooter now.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me a little bit of the Max Payne 3 shooting, mm-hmm. which especially was the case with Michael when you have what essentially amounts to bullet time.
Ah, yeah.
And it seemed like it played like a proper third-person shooter. It seemed like Rockstar learned from everything that had come since then,
mm-hmm.
not only their own games, but other third-person shooters as well. The cover system worked very well. The cover system felt organic, like I didn't look at a room and go, okay, here's where all these gunfights are going to take place.
Mm-hmm.
It just sort of happened.
Right.
And the driving, I actually really loved the driving in GTA 4.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it handled almost like a proper car.
Mm-hmm.
And even though the driving was different than other games, and even though it had a learning curve,
mm-hmm.
once you get good at the driving, you become really, really good at the driving.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And in GTA 5, it keeps a lot of the things that I love about GTA 4's driving. Like, I can still move cars in this heavy fashion that I want to.
Mm-hmm.
But it also makes it feel a bit like a racing game. Things stick to the ground more. It doesn't feel that floaty. And I like how it's a lot easier to control cars mm-hmm. now, which might be for the less realistic, but I think it's also for the more fun.
Yeah.
The hand-to-hand combat, I like that there's just R2 now, which you can just press, and it's like the beat someone up button.
Yeah. Just like the haymaker, you just come up and just wallop somebody. And
yeah, you just run with Trevor and like karate chop someone in the back of the head, and then they just go down.
Man, I had like an experience where, I don't know, I was outside of Franklin's house, and this mm-hmm. woman came up to me and started saying something. I don't know how or why I did it. I just hit that button, and I backhanded her, and then she was dead.
Yes.
And I was like,
it's
what?
Basically the slapping button.
Yeah, it was like, what? And she's dead. I backhanded her to death with one slap. It was
kind of
silly.
The death is funny in this game, because sometimes, like in GTA 4, the ambulances will come, and they will deal with whoever's there. And one time, I hit someone with, like, the same slap you did. The ambulance came, and when they came there, they had that dialogue, was like, uh-oh, we've lost her. So, it actually kills someone in the game. It doesn't just knock them out.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little ridiculous. I mean, it's kind of funny, I guess, if you're into that sort of thing. I am.
So you can turn the auto-aim off if you want, mm-hmm. but I don't know if you would agree with me on this, but even though I'm okay at shooters, I actually prefer to keep auto aim on in GTA games. I don't know if it's for the power fantasy or whatever, but I just like the feeling.
Yeah, me too. I really got used to that stuff in, you know, Red Dead, just kind of, you know, just tapping the trigger or whatever, and, you know, just kind of just getting right on the characters. It was just so easy and just fun, you know. And when I'm playing a game for, you know, 40, 50 hours, I want to make sure I'm having fun and not just, like, battling the controls. So, you know, to whoever thinks maybe, if people out there are thinking, well, you're not a real gamer, you didn't do it without that, you cheater. It's like, oh, fuck you. I mean, I want to have fun with my game, and that's how I have fun with it. So, yeah.
And it's still kind of a challenging game.
Oh, yeah.
Because even though you're not worrying about aiming that much,
mm-hmm.
it still becomes a game of making sure you're covered at the right spot, because the AI is a lot smarter now,
mm-hmm.
and they know when to stay back, but when they can, they will rush you like nobody's business.
Yeah.
So moving on to the story, the missions, etc. This game is interesting because it introduces three protagonists. You got Franklin, who is the driver. You got Trevor, who basically embodies the sandbox character. He is the guy you want to be when you want to murder an entire police force. And, well, no, that's 100% the case, and mm-hmm. that's 100% why they designed him.
Mm-hmm.
While Franklin, I think, was designed to be the blank slate for you to immerse yourself in.
Mm-hmm.
And I would argue that Michael is the basis of the story.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of his purpose. And not only does it serve these narrative reasons, but if you want to drive, and if you want a good driver, that's Franklin. He's got his special ability where he can slow down time. If you want to wreck shit up, you got Trevor, who has his rampage mode. And then you got Michael, who has bullet time, or mm-hmm. what is essentially bullet time.
Right.
And I was worried about this at first, because while I love GTA 4 and its DLC, I thought that this would take the focus away from a huge story that GTA 4 had, which was one of my favorite things about it. Mm-hmm. And as I noticed, and as I hope you did too, mm-hmm. that is definitely not the case. And if anything, having three characters improved both the gameplay experience and the story experience.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that.
What'd you think of the three character experience, Danny?
I thought that was a really clever kind of thing to do, because, like you said, I mean, you kind of have, like, instead of just one character being good at everything, which is, I guess, kind of unrealistic. But then again, we are talking mm-hmm. about a video game here, so.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just kind of gives you a little bit more variety and stuff. And I mean, yeah, you can do anything that you do with one character, you can do with, you know, the other. But I mean, you know, like you said, with these specific special moves or whatever that they have, I mean, it's, if you're going to be driving around, Franklin's a guy, you know. And this basically is like exactly like you said. So,
The focus of the story is, well, there are two focuses. The first is on Trevor and Michael's story. It's definitely not Franklin. He just sort of comes in at first, and he's you. He's the one who reacts to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And then the focuses are Trevor and Michael's story, which is built around their past. They each have their own individual stories. Like Trevor, he's a meth dealer. He's an extremely intelligent meth dealer who is also a psychopath, who will murder casually to get his way.
Yeah.
In the first scene, which you see him, he casually murders an extremely major character from a previous Grand Theft Auto game, which I don't know if you noticed that.
No, I didn't notice that at all.
Okay, so you have not played Lost in the Damned.
No, I didn't. Okay, man, when that came out, I really wanted to get it, but I think for whatever reason, I don't know, I wasn't able to add, like, credit to my Xbox Live account or some crazy shit or whatever. I don't know. So I couldn't play it. I never got to play it.
Here's what you're going to do. While we're talking, I'm going to send you the cover of GTA Lost in the Damned, and then you are going to react to it live.
Okay.
And you are going to understand why it is such a shitty thing, but also extremely brilliant thing for Rockstar to do. Page is loading, but more importantly, so Trevor's this meth dealer. He wants to get his own way. He'll kill anyone casually, like you will when you are going on your killing rampages. Franklin is this street hustler who doesn't want to be that kind of guy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael is a retired bank robber who basically won GTA. He won the goal of GTA. But as a GTA character would probably tend to do in a realistic situation, they can't really keep their nose out of the game, even if they have every opportunity to.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked this, what's it called? This story premise, because it allows you to see things from more perspectives, and it allows the story to stay way more fluid than it's ever been before.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think of this, Danny?
Yeah, I completely agree, and I know it sounds like a broken record, but like, yeah, no, you're saying basically everything that I'm kind of thinking. Yeah, I thought that, you know, like I said, is having all these three characters, these three different perspectives, backgrounds, really. I mean, fucking Trevor is insane, and, you know, Franklin, you know, honestly, I really like Franklin a lot. I don't know, I think he's just kind of a cool guy, and when Michael and Trevor are doing something absolutely stupid, he's like, man, fuck you guys, you're dumb.
He's the guy you're supposed to like while you hate everything else.
Yeah, but at the same time, I still do like the other two.
I do too.
Yeah.
And personally, while some people think he's the worst character, I loved Trevor's story, I loved playing as Trevor, mm-hmm. and I felt none of these bad feelings while playing him. Because I thought playing Trevor was extremely cathartic. I thought it felt great to play him.
Mm-hmm.
I liked a story that actually focused on the idea of the GTA character we all play as.
Mm-hmm.
But I did send you that picture. See if you recognize that guy right on the front of the box there.
This guy? Oh, okay. I think I know this guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, GTA 4 lost in the damn spoilers. Speed up a minute if you want. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. They straight up murdered the protagonist of Lost in the Damn. They just murdered him in the introductory cutscene, which I thought was brilliant. And I also think the GTA 4 things they do is also pretty brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they reference Nico, and you can also bring on Packy as a heist member.
Are you serious? Damn it, I missed that.
Huh. What were you going to say?
No, probably nothing.
Okay. Oh, boy. But Fluid is definitely the name of the game here, because not only on mission, but off mission, whenever you switch casually between any of the three characters, they all have, like, at least a dozen or two of these vignettes where they're all living their own life. And that is what this world is trying to achieve. It's trying to make it feel like the world is going on even when you're not playing it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything to add there, Danny?
No, it's, I really like the mechanic when you're actually changing to just it zooms out into basically showing you kind of like a higher version of like the map from where you are, and then it just kind of pans over to where the other character is and then zooms in the middle of whatever they're doing. Which is, yeah, it's just really impressive, and, you know, every single time I see it, it's like, wow, it's still cool. You know, I don't get tired of it when it happens.
Like, sometimes when you're Franklin, he will just be putting his clothes on, and then you just live his life like that. Sometimes when you're Michael, he will be getting into an argument with his family, or at one point, be talking to his family and just having a nice conversation with them. And when you're Trevor, sometimes you'll wake up in the mountains in a women's dress. Because that is what happens when you're Trevor. Right?
I always had it happen where I woke up in his underwear and he's puking and he's like on drugs and drunk.
He is high in about half of his... he's either high or he's asking a homeless person for a hand job. That is what Trevor is doing.
Yeah, Trevor is ridiculous.
He is a character.
Indeed.
But not only does it go to this character stuff, but it also goes into the world, because, like, if I'm Michael and I go into a hair salon, there was one time I went into a hair salon and it was being held up by completely random criminals.
Oh, wow.
Because they introduced these Red Dead Redemption random things to make the world feel a lot more alive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I never had that particular thing happen, but man, like, yeah, you see crazy crap like that just happening all over the city. Police are chasing around other people and crap like that. Gun, you know, one time I was just on a train, got off the train after murdering everybody. and then I got out of the train and there was a gun battle. And I was like, oh, cool, I'm just going to go shoot people. And then the whole gang just kind of came down on me and killed me.
But, yeah. And then if you go into weird parts of the map, there are sometimes some really bizarre ones.
Oh, yeah.
Like when you're Trevor and you pick up a hitchhiker, you get the option to drop off that hitchhiker at a cultist camp.
Oh, yeah.
Where it is presumed on the internet that they will use that hitchhiker for human sacrifice.
Jesus.
And if you enter this cultist camp, because the fences are all blocked off and you can only enter in from the roof, it is all nude old men and women.
What?
It is just old people. And I don't mean nude like, oh, they have underwear. They have their dicks hanging out.
Oh, my God. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Wow. I think I remember hearing them reference that. He, like, referenced it or something. But I never actually found the place.
Okay. So, more importantly, this is the story section of the Grand Theft Auto 5 talk, and this is what happens when you play Grand Theft Auto 5. You tend to ramble off about all the cool shit that happens in Grand Theft Auto 5. So the story, it's heist-based, and each of these heists are basically inspired by the four-leaf or three-leaf clover mission from GTA 4, where you basically hold up a bank. And each of these heists, they have a planning process with Lester, who's one of the guys from the old bank-robbing crew. And you plan for the heist, and then you pull off the heist in these extravagant missions. What'd you think of those?
Oh my God, that was my favorite. Those are always my favorite parts of the whole game.
Yeah.
And I just keep wishing that, you know, man, I wish there were just more and more and more of these that would never stop appearing.
Yeah, I wish there were twice as many,
yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
The missions, though, that aren't the heist, the ones that just continue the story, are all great in their own way.
Mm-hmm.
They all, because Trevor is most of the time out in the desert,
mm-hmm.
and Franklin is most of the time in the San Andreas Grove Street area of the map.
The hood!
And because... the hood! That's exactly what it is. It is the hood, Danny.
Yes.
And for Michael, he is in the Beverly Hills. You get three very different types of missions. Sometimes Michael could be saving his son Jimmy from a bunch of people who tried to buy Michael's boat, although Michael had no say in buying that boat, so Jimmy basically tried to sell it for drug money. Jimmy's also in a really amazing character.
Yeah, he's hilarious. And
if you're Franklin, you might get into conflict with the Ballas, and you might get into gangbanging fights, which is something you may have done in San Andreas. And as Trevor, you can sometimes go to trailer parks, you can sometimes go into the redneck country, and you have these completely different set of missions. Sometimes you are flying over the mountains in a majestic plane. Sometimes you are shooting up the biker gang, the Lost there, at a trailer park.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're just driving around and enjoying the countryside. Mm-hmm. And I think this is where GTA 5, its story, is the most brilliant. Because not only does it allow three different narrative perspectives, but it allows three totally different GTA experiences all at the same time that you can switch between whenever you're feeling not bored of one,
yeah.
but you just want to play another.
Sure, and I think that's a good point too, because yeah, it really is like kind of, in a way, like three different stories, almost three different games. You know, if this would have been something like 10 years ago, they wouldn't have obviously done, you know, well, maybe not obviously, but they wouldn't have done, you know, three different characters like this. This is just such a cool way just to have all these different stories and all these different kinds of perspectives. And I really thought that was really great.
Yeah. And one of the other things this game does is, in the missions, it reminds me a lot of a really classic game, like a Mario. And I might be blowing smoke up its ass at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But the missions do this thing where they will take one really extravagant idea, use it for a mission, and it probably requires so much work to make this mechanic work, and then they just throw it away, never to be used again.
Yeah.
Like, there's that one mission where you're in a helicopter, and you're trying to track down someone in a car. I don't know if you played that one.
Yeah.
And, like, that mechanic, I don't know if it's the greatest mission, but it's a mechanic that they introduced there and threw it away, never to be seen again.
Yeah. And,
essentially
what it is, for those of you out there that don't know, it's kind of like you talk about when you're using, like, the infrared or something.
Yes.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. And actually, you get to use that in another mission, not with the helicopter, but on one of the scopes of one of your guns when you're looking or something.
Yes, when you're trying to, when you're in the Chilead wilderness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
yeah, it's the missions are way better than the ones in GTA 4. The missions I didn't have a problem with in GTA 4,
mm-hmm.
but this is like on a whole different level.
Sure.
They all feel so fun, and you're just... These are probably my favorite missions from any open world game I've played.
Sure.
Because they make them with the intention of them being fun. They don't make them with the intention of what would be a pretty good open world mission,
mm-hmm.
which is something I really appreciate. And like those Strangers and Freaks missions,
mm-hmm.
which are these random question mark things on the map that they've had them in GTA 4,
mm-hmm.
but now they're on the map casually sure. and like constantly, so you can easily go to them. Those missions, those side missions, are as good as like some of the best missions in GTA 4.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, they started doing this, I guess, in Red Dead Redemption, and man, there's a lot of cool stuff in that game. And like you said, I'm just really glad they make that kind of like a focal point for each character, that they can meet these NPCs and do ridiculous things sometimes. God, I'm thinking of one where you help these old British people who are obsessed with celebrities, and you help them.
Yes.
Do numerous things to get them celebrity goods, or I won't
goods is in quotes
goods. Yeah, it's really funny, and it's just ridiculous. Yeah.
I think before we draw this down, I was just interested in asking about the story itself. Did you like the story? Did you love the story? Did you tolerate the story?
No, I think I would probably go as far as say I love it. I really enjoyed it. It just seemed kind of real, I guess. Even
mm-hmm.
with stuff like Franklin, you know, he's a black guy, and they're not afraid to drop, you know, N-bombs left and right and stuff. Oh my goodness! Like
in the first hour of that game, yeah. So many people say "fuck."
Yeah, that too. And man, it's—I don't know. You know, some people out there talk like that, I guess, and you know, say "fuck, fuck, yeah. fuck." And, you know, actually, honestly, being here in Japan, it's kind of weird because I have no filter because nobody generally understands what I'm saying if I'm speaking in English. So it's easy to talk like I'm an ex-convict or something sometimes. So it's no, I get it. You know, I get it. So these guys basically are the equivalent of ex-convicts or escaped convicts or should be convicts. And just the dialogue and stuff like that that they have, the colorful language and just, I don't know, mindsets that all these characters have. I mean, they seem really consistent and it's not, you know, changing or anything like that. I think it's just a really, really well-written story.
It's definitely a character piece. Yeah. It's about the characters and what they think, and it's not necessarily... I think what actually happens is the small part of the game, and the big part is how they react and what happens to these characters.
Exactly.
Here's one minor complaint, and I won't get into spoilers, but do you think that the game closed something... on something of a weak note?
Yeah, I mean, I literally just beat the game like a couple of hours ago. And I remember before the ending happened, because I kept remembering the ending of Red Dead and how shocked and pissed off I was about something that had happened in that game. So I was right before the end of the game, I was thinking, well, crap, I want to make sure I save before it just in case everything completely goes to hell or whatever happens, you know. And
did you choose the good ending?
I guess. I don't even like...
Well, I mean, did you choose the one that's not really shitty?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That's what I did. Yeah. Did you do the same thing?
Yeah. Well, here's what I did. I did the good, quote, good ending, and then I went on YouTube to look at the other two endings. And those are extremely depressing.
Really?
I would not recommend you do that. But curiosity may get the best of you. Mm. And you may see you may see your heart collapse a little. Especially if you really like everything the game had done up until that point.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, what were you saying?
I don't know. Okay. Probably just, yeah.
Something about the ending.
Yeah, yeah. I was picturing it going in some completely different ways, but like I said, I have not looked and see what these other alternative endings were. I didn't even realize that they were out there. First, I was thinking, well, shit, does it even matter which one I choose? It's always the same.
It so matters.
Okay. It's good to know.
Yeah. So you felt that after the Red Dead Redemption ending, how did you feel in relation to that?
A little bit underwhelming, I guess. I mean, without spoiling anything, things seem to get kind of wrapped up, at least in the good ending.
Too neat of a bow.
Yeah, a little bit too neat of a bow for my taste. You know, when it comes from me in entertainment, I typically like things that are a little bit depressing. I don't know why. It's fucked up, I guess. But every once in a while, I like something happy. But I don't know. I mean, I wasn't like appalled or anything by this ending, you know, for being somewhat, you know, on a high note or anything. But yeah.
And especially, you've beaten GTA 4.
Yeah.
You know that even though it ends on kind of a bow, it ends on a really dirty bow.
Yeah.
And you don't feel that clean, regardless of what ending you pick. And even in the good ending, you still have to deal with a main character dying.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's... You see, that game is so dirty that the good ending is revenge. Yeah, we have drawn this on way too long, but before we give it a close... Did you play GTA Online at all?
Man, because I was trying to get through the single player before I get to the online, and that's basically my next step, probably what I'm going to be doing tomorrow.
Okay. So would you rather not have the online experience, my first impressions, drench your ears?
I mean, whatever you want, man. I mean, I read stuff about beta tests and crap like that, you know, some journalists and crap got to do, but I really haven't heard too much about stuff in the public. Part of the game.
Well, I only played like an hour or two.
Okay. And
basically, it was like the GTA 4 online where you can just drive around in the open city and kill people.
Okay.
But it will no, except now you can, money becomes part of it. Like you can put bounty on people if they kill you and they take your money.
Uh-huh.
You can, like there's actual motivations to cooperate with people and to kill people. Like one early mission, because there are missions that they are constantly adding to this game. One early mission tasks you with robbing a store with a another person on the online mode, if you have the ability to.
Uh-huh.
And if you get the take, if you get the $2,000 that you get, you have the option. It doesn't tell you you have the option, but you have the option of cooperating, getting away from the cops, and then splitting the take. Or you can be an asshole, get in the car, drive away, and just leave the other person without any of the take.
Jesus.
That is just something you can do.
Oh, God, I could see myself getting mad.
But there are tons of missions. There aren't any heists yet, but speaking of which, there will be multiplayer heists added at some point in the future.
Okay.
They have dreamed, I suppose, of adding cities, because they said that they want to get the incomplete series of GTA in some form as part of the GTA Online experience. I don't know how that'll evolve.
Wow.
But this is something they've been dreaming of since, like, GTA 3, they said.
Man.
Just what they're doing now. So I haven't played it that much, but that is something for you guys to get excited by. But once again, this is a huge-ass segment, so I want to give it a generic close and ask you, Danny, final thoughts.
Yeah, if you have a PlayStation 3 and you have some extra money, this is definitely one of the best games you'll play this year, in my personal opinion. Don't worry about the haters, or just because it's not on a Nintendo system, it doesn't mean you shouldn't try it. It still is a lot of fun to be had, and it's a fun story, and it's just absolutely insane.
Would you go as far as to say maybe one of the best games of the generation?
Yeah, I'd say that. For me personally, I probably Red Dead Redemption is probably my favorite game of this generation. I really like that a lot. But this is up there. This is definitely in the top 10, I'd say, for sure.
Yeah, like, it's so crazy. Like, if I think about my top three games of the generation, all three of them are Rockstar games, like 4, 5, and Red Dead Redemption. And for all the times Miyamoto has said, I guess to bring this to a Nintendo note, for all the times Miyamoto has said, yeah, we could make Halo, but we choose not to, I don't know if Nintendo has the ability to make a game this good. And I might get a little bit of flack for that. I probably won't. But I feel a little bit like Rockstar is too good at open world games for Nintendo to ever meet that if they wanted to.
Yeah, I honestly don't think... okay, part of me wants to say, like, I don't think Nintendo should even try, because they'll make an open world game and it'll be probably okay, but it won't be as good as what other, you know, software houses, developers, whatever can do. And
it'll be amazing for none of the reasons you want it to be.
Exactly. And it'll be amazing because it's, you know, open world game from Nintendo and or something like that. You know, it's not just something that'll stand on its own. In my opinion. I mean, who knows? Nintendo sometimes can surprise you, but I don't think so with something like this. It's also, too, just being Japanese, you know, company, too. I mean, God, I don't think internal stuff here in, like, Kyoto would, well, first of all, make anything like this. Second of all, I think that just ends there. It probably wouldn't make anything like this. Japanese audience, I mean, they think about the Japanese audience a lot, even though they talk about selling games all over the world. But Japanese is almost always, like, the first audience they think of.
And for all the people over here, and I imagine over there, who play rhythm games, JRPGs, and Sims, and those are the only three games they play, and they will basically insult the thought of Western design. I think Rockstar, and especially this game, and Red Dead Redemption, and GTA 4, represent the apex of Western design to me. This is the West doing something they're best at. So I think that'll bring the show to a close. Thank you for joining me, Danny.
Yeah, no problem, man.
Alright, and if you like this segment, we probably won't get away with pulling off another one, but hearing your nice thoughts would make us feel good.
Yes.
So sound off in the talkback thread if you have the motivation to. I will see you guys later. Thanks for listening. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.